He's not saying where I put it.
That's what she said.
And I'm Tyler.
Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, bonus episode 1.
Yeah, this is potentially going to be an episode that we refer to a couple times, but probably not, because I'm going to Germany this week.
And Zach is totes sick town.
So, we decided that since we talk about games that we played before we turned this into a podcast, we'd actually, like, record episodes about the games that we played before turning it into a podcast.
Today is May 13th, to give you an idea of when we're recording. Tyler, like you said, is going to be going to Germany, so Excitebike is going to be put on hold at least a week. At least I assume it is, unless something weird happens.
And, yeah, so this may or may not drop the week I get back? Maybe? I don't know, because we're not going to have one in the hopper then, so...
I think it would. We'll see.
Alternatively, we could just, like, power through Excitebike, so...
So you may be wondering, what's a bonus episode? Is it a super special episode I get in addition to a regular episode?
Oh, you naive listeners.
A bonus episode is an episode I don't edit. I will take out any profanities, and I will take out the noise in the background, but other than that, it's going to be completely unedited. And it's going to drop when we can't get an episode recorded normally.
Yeah, this is basically our backup episode, and it may or may not contain contents necessarily related to video games, but probably related to video games.
Well, especially for the first three, we want to tackle the first three games we played for this project before we turned it into a podcast.
Indeed, probably in order, actually.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. So, see, this is going to be great without the editing. You can see how stupid we are and how much work I put into this.
I don't know about you. Normally, I misspeak all the time, but I haven't done it once since we started recording. So.
Yeah, I normally am pretty good, and I've been doing it a lot. The thing about you is you'll transition into something like 6 times, which is great for me because I have my pick of the lot.
You know, I never noticed that, but I don't doubt it, so...
See, I notice you now. I don't notice Zach's mistakes, or I would tell him to correct them, because they're a lot harder to edit.
Well, because Zach's mistakes are, why am I yelling into the microphone?
And he runs words together a lot, which I have to super zoom in to separate them out. And he'll go back, like, a little bit, but he'll, like, not remember where he was. He'll go over the same ground, like, a couple of times, but then he'll say it differently, so I have no idea how to make it work.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, in normal conversation, I do, like, unintentional portmanteaus where I squish the first and last word of a sentence together, but I don't know. I feel like I don't do that while we're recording so much as I pontificate on the same point 5 times.
So speaking of pontification, that's not getting it edited out, folks. Normally we do another take. Want to talk about how we started this project?
Well, yeah, definitely, because I think that's mildly important, and we have, like, 10 listeners now, so...
It was a warm August day. I was coming back on the train. I don't think I was in class at the time. I don't think it had restarted. I think I had to go down to the college, though, for some reason. Listening to Video Games Hot Dog, one of my favorite podcasts. I've mentioned Kingdom of Loathing a few times on the show before. It's a video game podcast done by the creators of that game, where they play a game every week, much like us, and discuss it. They also have a large news segment, though, and some developer insight. Since they know a bunch of indie developers.
And since, you know, they developed a game.
Well, they also have their own podcast just for that, that kind of runs as a double show on a Shoutcast station Thursday nights, and then it becomes a podcast. Although really now it's a podcast that they run on a Shoutcast station, and they never upload it to the stream because they have to wait until it's on the Shoutcast station first. But anyway, they were doing Mega Man as the assignment, and Mega Man 2, and Mega Man X. They only actually played Mega Man, but they wanted to have another to compare it to. And I thought, Mega Man's a game I've always wanted to play, and I'd been kicking around in my head for a while the idea of doing some sort of review thing with Tyler, who I hadn't gotten to see much because he moved an hour away.
Yeah, that is rather inconvenient.
So I pitched it to him, and his exact words were...
I don't remember my exact words. I was planning on doing basically the exact same thing, except I didn't... I had just, for the last week, been thinking of doing basically a series of Let's Plays so I could ramble on a mic and make jokes for a while. And then Jeremy said, hey, we should review video games. And I'm like, hey, I was totally thinking that I should start reviewing video games. We should totally make this a group endeavor.
And then I said, let's start with Mega Man, and we did.
And it was awesome. And then we did, like, 3 episodes via IM... Except we ended up recording the 4th one because I wanted a transcript to make it sound more natural, and we ended up just making that a podcast.
If you're familiar with Comics Alliance, maybe I will edit that. We'll see. I'm in the habit of re-saying things, so I can edit them appropriately.
I am not quite in that habit, although I did it once during the Doom episode, so...
That's good for me. So anyway, if you're familiar with Comics Alliance, a comics and pop culture website that sadly went down on April 30th, but is still available for your viewing pleasure, two of the writers there would do movie reviews and a couple other thing reviews in this style, where it would just be like an IM conversation in text. And I wanted to do something like that because editing a podcast seemed like a lot of work. Really, I wanted to do a podcast, but I didn't want to spend the money on microphones, or the time driving to Tyler's, or the time editing especially.
And look what you do every week now.
Yeah, well, editing the text pieces takes about as long as editing the podcast. Probably a little less. In particular, the Ghosts and Goblins episode was a nightmare to edit. And I'm not sure why. Only 8 minutes came out. And I didn't take anything major out. Like, it was all ahs, ums, and dead space.
Huh. That seems really weird, actually. I don't know. I thought that one went really well. I thought we had, like, a ton of... Well, I guess you said it was more the audio quality that was really a problem.
Yeah, the audio quality was bad. And lots of ahs, ums. Our conversation was good, but our mechanics need work. So, speaking of that, if you want to shoot us a review on iTunes, that would help us a lot.
Yeah, really any sort of review, preferably 3 stars or higher, but you know, if you think we really suck, tell us so that we can improve.
Okay, so if you want us to play a game in particular, when we get to 10 iTunes reviews, I will roll a D10, and whatever review, if that has a game request, we will play that game next.
Although, when does it actually start posting reviews?
I have no idea.
Actually, I went and looked at Fear the Boot on iTunes, and they only have like... 500 user reviews on iTunes.
That's pretty good.
And they're a huge podcast, though.
Low Elo, the biggest League of Legends podcast, is approaching the 600 mark, and they do free shoutouts to anyone who gives them a review. Like, they have a 20-minute segment of every podcast where they just read the reviews, and if people ask questions or advertise anything in there, they'll shell for them.
Dude, I'd totally do that. If you review, I'll give you a plug. It might even be half an episode, a plug.
I hope not. But if you have some questions, you know, lasttimeonvideogames.com, the Twitter, @lasttimeonvideogames, or is it @LTOVG?
It's @LTOVG.
I should know that since I run that now.
Probably. I went and looked at it. There was a type or a grammar error in your last tweet, and I wanted to go edit it, but I couldn't figure out how, so...
I keep meaning to link to the Doom music, because that's bitchin', but...
Oh, yeah, especially the intro music. That's, I actually, for the show notes for the current episode, I actually have an embedded Doom Guy gif. At one of the timestamps.
Nice! So, ostensibly, this episode is about Mega Man. Anything else you want to talk about before we get to the Blue Bomber?
Yeah, since we're talking about the potential influences of this, you've been listening to Fear the Boot for, like, ever at that point, right?
Yeah, since 2007.
And I finally just started listening to it, but that was we started this before then. I'd actually just watched the Spoony Final Fantasy VIII review, because I had been playing Final Fantasy VIII at the time. I'm like, this game is terrible! And then I went and found Spoony, and he's like, this game is terrible! I'm like, well, we have something in common.
We hate Final Fantasy VIII! Yay!
I thought it was fun to play, except the story made no goddamn sense.
Go back to Final Fantasy X. It's kind of like that, too.
I have replayed X recently, and it is Alex's favorite Final Fantasy now. And it still remains on my probably top 15 game list, so...
It's a really crummy love story, I feel, especially if you can get through it quickly. I think I felt it was better when I was a kid because I sucked at video games.
So it took longer.
So I felt like, yeah, they have a relationship. They've been together for, like, a month.
Yeah, there's that. I definitely sped through it the last time I played it, and Orin's still a badass, but I question why Tidus is there at all.
Ha 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 ha!
You know, I'm pretty sure I did that on air the last time you mentioned Final Fantasy.
Bye, listeners. It was nice having you.
Good show. Let's wrap it up. So, yeah, I guess my biggest influence for wanting to start video reviews of some sort is I had recently binged on the entire Spoony backlog, so...
That's a pretty good backlog. What about Game Grumps? You've mentioned that a few times.
I hadn't started watching it yet. In fact, I'm not even sure it was a thing then. It's basically, so John Giron, who is, I can't remember his last name. His name's John. He's a pretty cool guy. He has like an internet series.
I'm not editing out that table bang, and normally I would.
Oh, fair enough.
And continue.
And Ego Raptor, who is Aaron Hansen, if you, I don't know. He's an internet celebrity. If you people don't know him, we've referred to him several times. At any rate, they have a show where they basically just, like, play video games on camera, and then the TARDIS lands, but,
And I get some texts. And I get some texts, too, and I lean back so no one can hear me.
Well, yeah, I thought I had my phone on silence. But, basically they just sit around playing video games and then talk over them, and what they're talking about may or may not have anything to do with the actual game. They did one on Choo Choo Rocket recently, which is a game I've never even heard of, and it's freaking amazing, because they're frantically spazzing out the entire time. Aaron's just shouting at the camera the entire time.
That sounds pretty good. I've actually been watching a lot of Surgeon Simulator 2013 Let's Plays recently. Spoiler warning, a show by Seamus Young and a few of his friends. That's basically a Let's Play show, did it. And then also Rage Quit. They did it on challenge mode where they had one person controlling the keyboard and the fingers and another person controlling the arm.
That sounds horrible. Why would you do that?
Because it got them like 6 million views on YouTube and that's their livelihood.
What show does Seamus do? It's
called Spoiler Warning. It's a small show. It's not a...
Okay, I've never heard of it.
It's on his blog, basically. That's the main outlet for it.
So that's probably my problem, because I don't read 20-Sided Tales, so...
Yeah.
I ought to, because I've enjoyed everything I found on there, but... I don't know. I'm bad at getting out on the internets.
Did you read Chainmail Bikini?
Nope.
It's kind of hard to track down, but there is a site for it. I could send it to you if you want.
So I think I read something else that he started that was like a steampunk fantasy setting. It might have been something else, so I feel like it was off of 20-Sided Comic, or 20-Sided Tale.
I think the artist of Chainmail Bikini might have started doing that, because that's not Seamus's. He did another really generic fantasy with the cast of DM of the Rings as the players, but, you know, no copyrights or anything.
Yeah.
It's just lightly implied. It's got the best shirt ever, which is the guy who played Aragorn comes in and his shirt is a D4 and then a D20.
I don't...
On a 4 and a 20.
I don't get it.
Well, you suck at culture.
Apparently.
And people in the comments, tell him why he's wrong. We're not wrong. You live in Colorado, for gosh sake. We're the mile high.
Thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, why would you ever game high? That would make a terrible game.
I think it's more a joke about how Aragorn always looks high in the stills, so he just made it canon.
Fair enough.
But anyway, do we want to get to Mega Man, or we got more to ramble on? This is what the people want, right?
Rambling? Honestly, when I listen to the podcast and... When Zach used to listen to the podcast before we did him with us, the rambling was the most enjoyable part. I'm making that up. I have no citations.
Zach still listens to the podcast, but that's because he likes to hear the sound of his own voice.
And I listen to the podcast, but that's because I make show notes.
And I listen, but that's because I edit.
Ed listens.
Hi, Ed! Tyler will have been saying hi to you recently, I think.
Yeah, probably. Well, actually, no, I probably would have said hi like a week ago, because I won't have any reason to say hi because I will have been with him for the entire week. So, causality! Timey-wimey.
Wibbly-lobbly. Mega Man!
So the first game we played for this endeavor, and we basically IM'd about it, and then took a transcript of that, and we're planning on putting it on the website, and then ended up not doing that, was Mega Man!
A fighting robot. Mega Man!
And I remember my first impressions of this game were not very positive, because I thought there was too much random difficulty, but looking back on it, I don't know why I thought that.
Huh, that's weird. I don't remember you even saying that, because this game isn't very random at all.
No, there are a couple points where enemies will just randomly spawn in annoying manners. I can't remember. Honestly, I don't even remember what caused that, because a lot of them do the Medusa head pattern from Castlevania, and that's totally legit, so...
I should mention we just finished playing this on the Wii U Virtual Console, which I will talk all about on our Excitebike episode, but I think we'll reserve this one for Mega Man.
Needless to say, well, I guess possibly needful to say, but suffice to say, it's awesome. I really like it, and I don't have a Wii U. I kind of wish I did now, so...
It's only got like 12 titles on Virtual Console, which is scary because I could potentially just go buy them all.
I'm thinking that there are probably some on there that you don't want to buy, though.
Actually, the small library is kind of small right now. I think Kirby's Adventure was the worst one on there, and it's 30 cents for this week.
Which is basically free. So.
It won't be 30 cents by the time you're listening to this, sadly. But maybe something else will be. I know Balloon Fight was earlier. I think the idea is bi-weekly sales.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be really cool if Nintendo did kind of a rotating sales, kind of like Steam did. Just like, you know, get this bundle of 5 related games for a third of the price you would normally pay for them.
Microsoft started this started that at the start of this year for arcade and... downloadable titles. Oh, speaking of, Monaco is split screen on the 360.
Oh, is it cross-platform, though? Because
I don't think so.
I have a lot of friends who are PC-only gamers, and I would like to be able to play it with them.
Okay. Well, I was thinking I could get it and we could knock it out in a night.
Oh, probably. Monaco sounds freaking amazing, so...
Though, me and my brother played the demo and we weren't super impressed, so...
Oh,
the art style is cool.
Yeah, that's actually the first thing that grabbed me about it, is that it's very colorful. So,
but anyway, Mega Man is something we want to talk about. We're just extra rambly today, I think, because we have no structure.
Yeah, my outline, it reads, in the beginning, influence, shoot lemons, RPS, Wily bitch, exploits, levels and stuff, and cheapness versus difficulty, which is the only legitimate topic I actually wrote down.
See, we should have transitioned from Game Grumps to shooting lemons. We failed.
I know.
Shutting down the podcast. This is the last episode. Never going again.
John always yells at Aaron about that. He's like, "What? Where did you come up with the shooting lemons thing?" And Aaron's always like, "I don't know. I got that from somewhere else. Why is that always a thing?" And yeah.
Lemons!
Lemons, that. They're finally playing Mega Man X, and John's like, "I've suggested this game like 50 times, and it's your favorite game. Why do we never play it?" And it's because they play other things instead.
Sweet reasons, bros.
I know, right?
And we talk about other things instead.
Even it's the though... same thing.
So Mega Man, 6 levels, 6 robot masters. You can choose which order you want to do them in, though, which is kind of neat and novel.
Indeed, well, especially at the time, that was that kind of non-linear gameplay. Well, actually, I saw that being a trend, what with Metroid and Zelda.
Excitebike
and...
actually does that, too. It's a bit more linear in that the levels have difficulty, but you can start on any track.
Is there a point to beating all the levels? I mean, you can't really beat Excitebike, can
no,
you?
No, well, self-achievement.
Well, yeah, you beat all the times, which is totally fun. I actually had a lot more fun with that when I played it this afternoon, so...
Excitebike I actually really enjoyed. But again, we'll talk about that later, kids.
In the actual Excitebike episode.
It'll be exciting!
And there will be bikes? At any rate... you get to choose which level you want to go into, and all the bosses have weaknesses, so there's kind of like this rock-paper-scissors thing going on. I don't know that any series has really done that other than Mega Man, at least any action series.
I think also it's important to say each time you beat a Robot Master, you get a new weapon, which you can select on your select screen. Each of them have individual ammo, and that's what we're talking about when certain weapons are strong against certain bosses.
Quite, so Elec-Man is inexplicably good against Iceman.
And Cut-Man is inexplicably good against Elec-Man. So if you're having trouble with one of the bosses, you just go beat his weakness and you can, as long as you can beat that damn Leaf-Man, you're okay.
You know, I actually went and played that and Leaf-Man is not that hard. I don't know, even on the very hard difficulty, it's not that hard.
You might have been a kid. I couldn't beat this game when I was a kid.
I'm pretty sure I did beat this game as a kid, so...
Well, you're a prodigy.
Yeah!
You're a genius.
of Mega Mans.
I was going to... Oh, this does create a bit of a difficulty cliff problem, and then if you can't beat any level, you can't find an advantage. And also, if you don't know the advantages, which we didn't the first time we played, you can also be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I actually played through this thinking that there were no weaknesses in Mega Man yet, because I couldn't find any of them randomly until, like, the boss rush at the end. And Elec-Man was incredibly difficult without his weakness. He takes 3 hits with the cutter and, like, 50 million buster shots.
Well, transitions be damned, since this is a bonus episode. Why don't we go back and talk about our experience with Mega Man as a franchise?
I think my first Mega Man game ever was actually just the original Mega Man, although I don't remember it well, and then I went and played Mega Man 8, then saw Mega Man X2 at a friend's house, and then played Mega Man X later. And Ding that
dong.
Was a doorbell!
I wonder if that's Cody. It's nowhere near Cody. He shouldn't be here. I said 5 or 6.
I don't know. It might be something. It might be a solicitor, even though we have a no soliciting sign.
It might be one of Jason's friends.
Possibly. He'll be sorely disappointed, because he's not here.
He might have got here. It sounded like someone got here.
Oh, fair enough.
Anyway, we're creating actual editing work for me now. Go us. I watched the Mega Man cartoon as a kid.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was even a thing.
Quite a bit on ABC Family, I think.
That's right, you were actually talking about that in your last post about how they're trying to create multimedia franchises out of them.
Yeah.
Which Sonic did to some success.
And I didn't have it on the NES, so I didn't know it was an NES game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not sure if I didn't know. I mean, it seemed obvious to me later when I found out.
Yeah.
But it was more a cartoon than a video game to me. The first game I played was Mega Man 64, a.k.a. Mega Man Legends.
Really? That was your first one? Oh, that was way late. I had already played, like, all the games in the X series up to that point by the time I got around to playing Legends. Legends is a fantastic game, and I think is only recently getting the recognition it deserves. which is sad.
I loved it, and when I found out there was a sequel, I grabbed that immediately.
Well, I got it thinking it was going to be a traditional Mega Man game, and while not disappointed is not the right word, I was, I think, instead pleasantly surprised to find that it played a lot more like Zelda, but with guns.
It does. And then I had a brief emulation phase when I was a terrible criminal doing hard time.
Doing hard time playing video games.
I played X and 2 and a bunch of them, but I never beat them because I really didn't like keyboard controls for Mega Man games.
Really? See, I actually, now that I play with a controller, I much prefer it, but I learned, I played so many games via emulator, I am used to keyboard controls. I think I actually play Street Fighter better on a keyboard than an actual gamepad.
Huh. Well,
I might be weird that way, though, so.
So this is the first traditional Mega Man I've ever beat.
That was a lot of fun. It's much easier to do if you exploit the pause with the elect gun trick.
Yeah, you were doing that a bit more than I would. I only do it against that one boss. You did, yeah. To Wily.
At that point, though, I felt like we were getting kind of crunched for time, and I just wanted to finish it, so.
Yeah, so after you beat the 6 initial levels, you have Wily's Castle, which is 4 more levels that are linear, like a Mario game, and ends with a boss rush.
And we kind of talked about this a little bit before we made it a podcast, but one of the great things about Wily's Castle is it takes challenges from each of the levels and then mashes them together in such a way that if you mastered each of the challenges before, going through Wily's Castle is a breeze, except for the bosses.
I should say that the individual levels are very distinct. There are a few reused things. For example, both Elec-Man and Iceman have disappearing platform sections.
Iceman's are way more complicated, though, so.
But Elec-Man is vertical, and that gives it a very unique feel. Guts-Man has these platforms that, like, slide along and will drop you at certain points, and that's the only place you see those other than Wily's Castle. Fireman has these, like, gouts of fire that will come up.
That's actually, I feel like Mega Man is one of the first games to really be, or have vertical platforming in it. It's really cool. I don't know why it's not used more often. Even in more traditional platformers, it's still not really there.
That was really Metroid's thing. So I don't know. Maybe it's a confusion thing. It makes sense in a Metroid where you want forks and multiple ways to go.
Yeah, and when you only have left or right, it's hard to do that. So you have to add up and down almost. With Mega Man, I feel like, well, Metroid is exploration. Mega Man is just shoot stuff. So I guess you could argue that Metroid does also shoot stuff, but I think Mega Man's focus is on shoot stuff.
Yeah, it's not an explorer game. There are very few secrets, and most of them you see. It's just like, can you get to that health power-up? It's going to be a little hard.
Oh, can I also point out that the music in this game is totally awesome?
Yeah, I feel like music in video games is usually either awesome or crap. There's not much in the middle.
I know, I actually felt like a lot of, what was it? Doom, actually. I felt like a lot of Doom's music was kind of meh. There was a lot of ambient music that I kind of didn't notice was playing for a while, so.
I think that feeds into the horror thing they're kind of going for, though.
It worked better in some stages than others. And given how much arsenal you have in it, it didn't really do the horror thing too well.
That's true. You have a rocket launcher pretty early on, and a minigun, and a shotgun.
I feel like a lot of the games we played for this podcast have their best track as the first level stage. So you go, oh yeah, this is awesome music. And then the next level, you're like, eh.
I feel like to some extent, though, A, they're putting their best foot forward. But B, you just remember that because you haven't been really immersed yet. And in some cases, it's the level you do most often. Mega Man, you get to choose which is the first level. So I don't know that we really think that.
No, Mega Man is I forget which stage. It might be Fire Man. One of the stages has kind of mediocre music, but all the other tracks I really like. Especially, I really like the Bomb Man stage for some reason. I'm not really sure why I'm into that so much.
That's a fun level, too, with the exploding enemies that sort of rain down on you.
But it kind of looks like a...
Yeah.
Yes, Cloud City on Bespin, to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, actually.
A different color scheme.
Yeah, it's a little brighter. It's not as dirty. Boba Fett's going to kidnap you.
Also more white and less orange. It's like Perpetual Sunset there in the movies, so.
That's true.
So, I don't know. All the levels are varied. They have very similar elements, mostly ladders that go up and walk and jump over platforms that go right.
And enemies, some with have sort of movement patterns where you can only hit them at certain points. You can only shoot forward and, I guess, backward if you turn around.
A lot of the enemies are kind of, like, thematically appropriate. Like, they kind of match the boss-ish.
Yeah, Bomb Man has, like, these bombs that fly out at you. Cut Man will have swords that fly out of, I guess they're really more like scissors, that fly out of things that
it's like a scissor dispenser.
Exactly, scissor dispenser.
You pay 50 cents and you get a scissor in the face. Elec-Man has a bunch of obstacles that are electricity-themed. So does Fireman. They don't really have fire or electricity-themed enemies. I feel like Guts-Man was the only one that was really lacking enemies that fit his theme.
The construction workers are still there. They have the construction helmets. Those are just enemies that get used in Mega Man a lot. So I think they don't feel as distinctive to you.
That might be why, because going back, I remember those guys from every Mega Man game, so I didn't really associate them specifically with Guts-Man, even though they have the little construction worker helmets. I'm trying! I'm talking loud!
That's good!
In case this doesn't get edited out, I have a problem where I don't talk loud enough.
You've been good the last couple weeks, but I've turned you up almost all the way, and you're still not talking quite loud enough. Maybe I've got our mics wrong?
Maybe I need to be right next to the microphone.
That might help.
Anyway, Mega Man has a lot of... Well, okay. Constantly, you're being bombarded by enemies. That's generally cool, except it's hard to move forward when you're sitting there trying to figure out which wave of penguins you need to go through.
Yes, but you have a lot of health in this game. Unlike Ghosts and Goblins, which we just played, you can make a lot of mistakes in this, and you'll be okay, but it might punish you on the boss, where you're going to have to be a lot... I guess they expect you to take some hits on the boss, so if you've already taken a lot, you've got to be really well.
I actually think that lives are a more valuable commodity in this than health, because when you start a new life, you're at full health. So you get all the way to the boss, die immediately, then you go right back to the boss with full health. This game is actually pretty forgiving in terms of how it uses the continues and where it sets you when you die.
There is a thing where the power-ups that drop are random. You can get ammo, which you don't really need, life, which is useful, or extra lives, which are, you know, bonus.
Also, these little circle things, which I don't really think do ammo or health or points. I'm not really sure what they do.
This is one of those games that has points and doesn't need them.
Indeed. I think we ranted about that before we started recording and how many games have points that are useless. They're like Who's Line, but video games.
Alright, you have anything more to say? I'm coming running out of steam on Mega Man.
A little bit. I like the Wily end boss, where you blow him up and he just like sits there and begs for mercy.
This is the first game I'm aware of with a boss rush, and it's sort of segregated. You fight two, and then a boss, and then later you fight the other four before the final boss.
Indeed, which is different than later Mega Man games. Normally you do them all at once, but...
But you have all the type advantage powers, so it makes things a little easier.
Except for Cutman, whose weakness is picking up blocks and throwing them at him, and there are no blocks to throw at him in the second time you fight him.
Yeah, but the second time you fight him, he's separate from the other four, so it's a little hard, but he's still one of the easier bosses in the game.
He is. I actually think his stage would make a good first stage.
His are Guts-Man. Guts-Man's is kind of hard because it's really platforming intense, probably the most so.
I completely forgot what I was going to say.
Good job.
Oh yeah, and the golem. The golem is completely different than every other enemy. He doesn't even look similar.
Yeah, you fight him in the second part of Wily's castle. He, like...
breaks apart and flies across the screen at you and reforms.
And while he's flying, he can hurt you, so you have to dodge all his parts, and you can't hurt him while he's doing that. It's really hard.
And he has a very limited range of being able to be hit. He opens his eye for a second as he shoots a laser. So not only do you have to dodge the laser, you have to also try to hit him at the same time.
Not easy.
It's actually a lot of fun, though. Really, this game is pretty fun. I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, we just played it, so we'd have more to say, but I think the end is... The theme is really good. The controls are super tight. If you've been reading my ratings column, you'll know this has pretty consistently gotten the number 2 spot below Castlevania, and it defends that title pretty well.
Yeah, it's got... to help theme, it's got great music. Pretty much all the weapons are useful in some manner. I don't feel like any of them are useless.
If I had to complain about something, the game does seem a lot simpler going back to it. Also, you have select as pause, and start brings also pauses, but it lets you switch weapons. I think I'd rather just have select be cycle through weapons and be able to choose on a start screen.
And I think they actually did that in later games, where they just had a quick change power.
Well, I'm chomping at the bit to get to Mega Man 2, which is constantly at the top of top 10 NES games of all time lists.
Is it?
Yeah, it's usually considered the best Mega Man.
The best Mega Man, even?
Well, on the NES, at least.
Okay.
I think X is usually considered better.
I'm going to say, just between X and the original Mega Man, X is bar none the winner, but there's also like 5 years or 8 years or something of development in there, so...
Yeah.
Also, it's on the Super Nintendo, and Yeah. They learned a lot about game design between then.
Stuff that I think they've forgotten now, or need to relearn.
Possibly. Yeah, I feel really bad because Capcom keeps canceling Mega Man games, and I love Mega Man, and I don't know, I bought most of the Mega Man games as they've come out. They just keep going in the wrong direction. I feel like it's turning to Sonic.
I really like the Battle Network spinoffs. Did you play any of those?
A couple of them. Ed actually really liked them, and he had me play one of them, and I was rather enjoying it, so.
I played, I think, Battle Network 2 a lot, and either the original or 3 as well. Those were pretty fun. They then, like, did a sort of X thing with them and had, like, Battle Network XY or something, and I never really got into that.
That's, they canceled Mega Man Legends 3, and I really hope there was a good reason for it, like they couldn't pull a plot out of their asses or something, but...
It got canceled super early in development. I think it was, we don't think this is going to sell, so let's not put too much into it.
Coincidentally, if you want to see Mega Man Legends 3, there's a Facebook group for it that's doing an internet petition, because we all know how much power those have.
Well, and Capcom's is remaking DuckTales, and I really hope we get that Chip and Dale game I'm always talking about, and Darkwing Duck, because I'd never even heard of that until recently.
Oh, there was a Darkwing Duck game?
Yeah, on the Mega Man 5 engine that got rave reviews.
Huh. That actually sounds pretty awesome. I am a big fan of Darkwing Duck, so...
Daring Duck of Mystery.
They had a lot of... duck-themed things, because they also had the Mighty Ducks.
Which, oh, I forgot about the Mighty Ducks.
Which aired in, like, the same time slot as Gargoyles or something.
Yeah, well, that was the same time. Gargoyles and Mighty Ducks were sort of wave two when Disney was sort of dying down their cartoon studio.
Indeed, and I kind of... Actually, I rewatched some episodes of DuckTales recently, and it held up really well. They don't do a lot of pop culture stuff, so...
Yeah, it's a really good cartoon. It's well-liked for a lot of reasons, I think.
That said, I also just watched Avatar recently, and between them, I choose Avatar, so...
Well, Avatar came out in 2006?
I don't... Okay, yeah, I guess there's...
DuckTales came out in 1987?
Yeah,
we were not alive when the first episode of that aired.
Maybe. What time during 1987?
I don't know. I thought you were 88.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Although I was December of 87, so...
Yeah, I don't think they started their new cartoon show in December.
They should. At Christmas. Launch day on Christmas. No, I feel like... Oh, no. Yeah, nah. I don't think that age is necessarily a good indicator of quality, especially since I feel like we've really mastered the medium of television in the past 30 years, so...
Well, nor do I, but DuckTales is almost 30 years old, eh? Actually, okay. I think the 25-year anniversary was recently. And B, anime really changed the way cartoons are made.
That is true. Well, because, see, the reason I like the animation in Avatar so much is because it takes the anime style, but then fully animates all the mouth movements. Because normally in anime, you just have the mouth moving to save on budget, but in Avatar, they actually, like, move the chins and have their eye muscles move and stuff. It looks a lot better. Obviously, there was a lot of budget that went into producing it, and it shows.
Yeah, it's sort of one of the reasons I like My Little Pony so much, honestly, is even though it's animated in Flash, it looks really good.
Indeed.
I mean, Adventure Time, I love it, but the animation style always looks really cartoony.
Indeed. Whereas My Little Pony, they have the most adorable facial expressions. I love that one episode where Twilight's, like, completely out of her head.
Yes, any episode where a pony goes insane is great.
They make the best faces. It's fantastic.
All right, anything else we want to say about Mega Man, wrapping it up this time?
Not particularly. It's a good game. I highly recommend it.
As do I.
I have no idea how much it was on the Wii Virtual Console. It was like $5?
Yes, $5.
Bison bucks!
On the Wii Virtual Console. $4.99 on the Wii U. And they do not charge you sales tax, so it's $4.99.
So it's actually 1 cent cheaper, plus tax.
No, they don't charge you sales tax on the Wii U.
No, I mean because the Wii charges tax.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So okay. It's 1 cent cheaper plus whatever tax the Wii would have charged. So it's that, like, 46 cents cheaper.
All right, so next week, hopefully, we really will have Excitebike. And our next bonus episode, whenever we have another kerfuffle, is going to be Kirby's Adventure for the NES.
I thought we did Castlevania a second.
No, because you suggested Kirby, then I suggested Castlevania.
Fair enough. I love Kirby. Next time on Last Time. Maybe Excitebike?